Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you. Welcome to Face to Face. We're glad that you could join us today, and we hope things are going well for you. Well, we're in baseball. We're in what's called the Hot Stove League. This is where guys metaphorically sit around a hot stove and make trades and talk about what they're going to do when spring arrives. And it's not too long now before spring trading will be happening. But we thought, to get you in the mood for baseball, we'd go back and pull the interview that we had with left-handed pitcher Jeremy Affeldt. Jeremy Affeldt played for a number of different teams. He played for the Kansas City Royals. He played for the Colorado Rockies. He played for the Cincinnati Reds, and he played for the San Francisco Giants, which is where he became the most famous. In fact, the Giants were in two World Series, and he was in that. He also pitched in the World Series with the Colorado Rockies in 2007, and that's where we caught up with him. Jeremy's a great guy, comes out of Spokane, Washington, and has a tremendous desire to serve, has a tremendous desire to take what he has and to use it to help others, including a lot of young people who need to know about Jesus Christ. And we caught up with Jeremy in 2007 in the Colorado Rockies bullpen, but the testimony never changes. And we just thought you would like to hear the story of Jeremy Affeldt, who turned out to be a fine pitcher, who has just retired, by the way. He is 36 years old and spent a number of years with the Giants. In fact, he was with the Giants from 2008 to 2015, and just kind of figured that it was time to end. So we'll take this break, and when we come back, you'll get to hear from Jeremy Affeldt, formerly of the San Francisco Giants. We'll take this break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to the start of Face to Face. Glad to have you with us, and I hope you're doing well. We're in the locker room of the Colorado Rockies today, talking to a guy who is really beginning to make his mark in Major League Baseball, Jeremy Affeldt of the Rockies. First of all, Jeremy, thanks for being on the show, and congratulations. I understand you're a new father.
Yeah, about a week ago today I had a baby boy, so it's been a thrilling experience for my wife and I.
Let's talk about Major League Baseball. I know that you have spent a lot of time with the Kansas City Royals, came over to the Rockies last year. You're in the midst of a pennant race, and this has got to be the fulfillment of a long-time dream.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of a year. It's probably been my best year, you know, personally and with my family, and just having fun and having a blast. I've had a lot of fun this year, and obviously in the playoff race, and we're doing well, and it just seems like, you know, over here we're just relaxed and we're playing well, and we're winning a lot, which is always makes the season go by a lot faster as well. So we're having a blast, and I'm excited to be over here with these guys.
You've played with Kansas City. You've been with some teams that, frankly, when you get to September, you're probably wishing you could just go home because you're not doing real well. And what's the difference in a locker room like this? It's got to be a lot of fun, as you say. And what's it like in a locker room where it's not quite this fun?
You know, it's just a tough situation over there. You know, it's a little, it just feels like you come in every day and you've lost so much. Just when you lose, you get bitter. Mentally, it's tough to go out there and stay focused. You do want to just go home and just call it a year and start over and get frustrated. It's hard to actually show up to the ballpark, you know, so it's harder to, you know, when you pull into the parking lot, you're not excited to really get out of your vehicle. You're like, man, here we go again. Where on this team, you know, you get out and you get out of the, you know, you get out of my car, I come in, I'm excited, we mess around, a lot of joking around going on, a lot of lightheartedness and guys having fun. And in Kansas City, I had some fun over there too. You know, I have a lot of Christian brothers over there, you know, but just with a tough situation, and it's nothing about the organization or any of the team, the players on the team. It just was a tough situation, losing so much, so.
I know you've been a starter and a reliever both, so you've kind of been down both roads. Which do you prefer?
You know what? As a starter, I wasn't really able to stay in that role for very long. You know, they would move me, and sometimes due to my I didn't have a lot of success. At times, they'd move me, but I never really got a chance to actually go and start, you know, and just learn and take my lumps and get better, you know. So, you know, for me, relieving has been, I've had a lot of memories relieving and coming to late games, adrenaline rush and a lot of excitement and stuff like that. So I prefer, you know, right now, you know, I just really enjoy what my role right now. And my wife actually would rather have me starting, but she's getting used to the role I'm in, and she knows I'm having a lot of fun, and so that makes her happy. And so we're just really thankful for the blessings God's given us in this role that we've had this year.
Baseball has been your entire adult life. You came out of Northwest Christian High School. Is that in Spokane?
It's in Spokane, Washington, yeah. That's where I live, in the off season too with my family.
You came out of Spokane at Northwest Christian High School in Spokane. You were 17 years old. You go to the minors and spend about 4 years in the minors, get called up by the Kansas City Royals in 2002, I believe?
Yes, I made the team out of spring training there.
Minor league baseball has got to be quite an adjustment. I know if you're playing the NFL, you play big crowds, college football, and you go in and you play in a big crowd in the NFL, but same way in the NBA. But in baseball, you kind of come up through the ranks. And what do you learn, you think, in baseball by the time that you get to the major leagues?
Well, I mean, for one, you don't forget where you came from. You know, you're in the bush out there in a tough situation, and you're not making any money at all, you know, so it's really a tough deal. And I was married going through my last 2 years in the minor leagues, and, you know, your wife has to work, and she's actually making more money, you know, doing odds and end jobs than I am playing baseball. But, you know, it's just a tough thing. I think a lot of things, you lose perseverance, knowing that you're going to fail, frustrating, learning a lot. You know, you're learning how to, you know, pitch at different levels and having to fail quite a bit. So I think you learn that. And I think you learn that it's a very difficult game to be in. This is a very difficult situation. And this game is not easy. It takes a lot of hard work to get here. Some people do get to the biggies quicker than others. But it's a time where you just go through. And for me, it taught me I had to really rely on God, because it was a tough thing for me to fail as much, because you never failed in high school, all that stuff, and you always succeeded. And then when things start going your way, you really have to lean on something else besides yourself, knowing that you're going to fail yourself every day. And you have to lean on someone who's never going to fail you, and that's Him. To me, it was fun, but it was tough, and I had a lot of frustrating times. Times I wanted to quit and go home, and you just got to stick with it. You know, there's a lot of times you want to quit, and you got to go out there and push through and not be a quitter. So,
can you get to a place where your confidence level is such that you say, you know what, I belong here? I saw where it was a time in spring training where you faced the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I think you struck out 5 out of 6 guys you faced. I know also that there was a time when you came up and you got your first major league guy. I think that might have been Kenny Lofton.
Yeah.
Tell us about those early days.
I mean, you know, that was just a situation where you're out there and you're raw. You know, you don't know really what you got, and you go out there and you're right. You know, I did real well in that spring training, and Kenny Lofton comes up, guy I watched with Cleveland early on in his career when I was in high school, and you're just like, man, I'm facing this guy, and you come up and you strike him out, and you're just like, man, you know, everything was just falling into play. You know, I was just pounding the zone, and you're like, man. So, and there are things along the way, the encouraging things. There are some things that go along the way, especially when you're young in the game, that you do belong here. Because there's plenty of times when you feel like you don't, the way they manhandle you that day out there. But you got to rely on those you know, experiences where everything went well, and you got to rely on those experiences of when you can think back and know that you were very successful, to let you know and remind you. Yeah, I deserve to be here, and I deserve to get a chance. And if I continue to work hard and believe in the things that God's given me, I think I'll stay, and that's what's happened.
Now, as a Christian on this ball club, on any ball club, I know this one thing that I've seen in interviewing a lot of different players is, it seems like, particularly in baseball, Christian brothers really hang together, and you really become close to your Christian brothers.
Yeah, well, it's very important, camaraderie and family and stuff like that. You see the Bible, man, those disciples that Jesus hung out, they hung together all the time. That's all they did. They pretty much ate, drank, and slept, and hung out with each other, and just, you know, did everything with each other, because I think that's where there's such a huge impact. And, you know, the Bible, obviously, where two or three are gathered, there I am, you know, so... In an environment like this, where you're on road trips, very worldly, you're away from your wife a long time, a lot of different, you know, temptations on the road. If you're with brothers, you know that God's there, and encouraging, the Spirit of God is just within you, and He gives you ways out when you feel tempted, and you don't get into a lot of trouble. And we really rely on each other to help each other out, to hold each other accountable, encourage each other, love on each other. Because obviously, you know, when we have the Spirit of God inside of you, you look at people through the eyes of love now, and so when the guys really need your help, you love on them. You know, we do our fine share of joking around and bashing on each other, and that's all done in good taste. But, you know, when you're with your Christian brother, you know, outside the stadium on the road and stuff like that, you're loving on them. You're encouraging them, making sure he stays strong, because that's so important, especially for the wives to know that their husbands are with good guys and they can have a lot of faith in them.
You also have a lot of guys on this team, of course, who are 180 degrees. They're the other direction. Do you have a chance when you just living your life, do you have a chance really to see that you're having an influence on that group?
You know, I've had guys, you know, after I've left teams sometimes, a lot of times, where they'll call me and they'll be, hey, man, I just want to appreciate, you know, what you did when we were playing, and it's really helped me, and I become a Christian. I go to church, you know, and I remember those things. I also had another situation. I was a rookie year. I had a friend of mine on the team that basically looked at me and said, you know what, I'm not a good person. And I said, well, I think you're a good person, you know. And he's like, no, I'm not. He goes, but I don't want to tell you something. For as young as you are, and this is one of the older guys on the team, and he said, for as young as you are, for you to stand your ground on all the issues that take place that maybe we don't, you know, do, but you do, and you do things right, and your wife trusts you, and how you just stand by your what you feel is right no matter what, no matter how bad we make fun of you, how we attempt to. He goes, that's something I look up to, and you being a lot younger than me, for me to look up to you, man, I just want to let you know I really appreciate it. And so that makes you feel good, because it makes you feel like what you did was you represented the kingdom of God. I didn't stuff the Bible down his throat. I didn't tell him he needs to be saved or he's going to rot in hell. You know, I just said, you know, in my views, I share with him my views, and I say, you know what, I think, you know, salvation is so key, because I believe it's eternal life. And I make sure guys know that, you know, eternal life's going to happen either way. You're going to be in hell for eternal life or heaven, but I'm not going to stuff it down your throat. I'm not going to tell you to do this or else. I just want to love on you and show you that I want to make sure people know that when the Spirit of God's inside of me, I'm different than that person. And I live a happier life, and I've got true joy. I don't just smile to smile. I smile because I'm truly happy. And so for representation of the gospel through my actions, it's probably, it goes a lot longer in a major league clubhouse than me standing on a soapbox and yelling, you know, through a speakerphone, you know. So
that's an outstanding testimony. Our guest is Jeremy Affeld of the Colorado Rockies. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to find out more about Jeremy as a person. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Jeremy Affeld, the left-handed pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. And Jeremy, I read that when you were over at Kansas City, you had guys over there like Tony Graffanino and Scott Sullivan, who's been a part of this show, and some other guys that you were real close to. And you're talking about accountability. Who are some of the guys that in the year and a half that you've been with the Rockies that are you pretty close to?
You know, I'm real to Matt Hergis. Brian Fuentes is a good friend of mine, and so we hang out quite a bit. And you know, those are the two guys that I really enjoy for me as a pitcher, because the pitchers and the hitters, you know, you try to hang, you know, in Kansas City, actually, I hung with a lot of hitters, you know, it's Mike Sweeney and Tony Graffanino and stuff, but, you know, it's sometimes you're on a different schedule, you're in a different atmosphere, and coming over here in the middle of a trade, see, I was able to kind of grow up with Kansas City, and when Christian Brothers came in, you just were, you know, you just like, cool, you latched onto them, and coming over here, a lot of these guys grew up with each other, and they have their own things to do, and some of the believers on this team, is quite a few of us, and some of the believers, you know, on the road, we don't want to say hang out, it's not because we don't like each other, it's just because they've got different situations, family and stuff. But there's guys on this team that I really enjoy. You know, Aaron Cook is a good brother, you know, and Matt Holliday is a great brother, and Jamie Carroll, and Baker, and I mean, we got a lot of Christian guys on this team, and we try to go out to eat. There's a few of us that go out and we eat sushi and hang out and have a good time, and there's some non-Christian brothers that join us there, but you know, we have a good time and we hang out. But probably Matt Hergis and Brian Fuentes are the guys on the team that I would consider my best friends on the team, and I can really share with them situations that are going on in life and trust them in that.
Let's talk about you as a person. You came out of Northwest Christian High School, but I know that you can go to a Christian high school and not necessarily be a Christian. Sure. What is it, when did you personally have Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yeah, it was before then. I was probably 5 years old when I accepted Christ. Then at 12 years old, I saw this movie about the end times, and it kind of scared me again. So I recommitted my life to the Lord just to make sure, you know, kind of a deal. And you look back on that, it's such a funny deal how you can mentally think that way. And then at 16, I went through a tough situation in high school. You know, you kind of know it all, and real rebellious, and I basically had a really bad attitude problem, and almost cost me some of my sports in high school. Almost got kicked off my basketball team and stuff like that. So I actually sat down with my school counselor, who is one of my best friends, and a guy that I talk to quite a bit now, and you know, he sat me down and he basically gave me some books to read, and he said, we need to actually start reading the Bible. We got to understand why are you, if you're a Christian, we got to understand what you're really supposed to be like. And so as I started doing that, you know, the Bible started coming alive, and so I really probably made a commitment to God in the sense that I'm going to serve wholeheartedly as a believer of Jesus Christ when I was 16, and I just haven't turned back from then. You know, after I, you know, signed and left high school, signed out of high school and left home, you know, basically my mom and dad just said, you know, we're going to really, it's a situation where you're going to know how dedicated you are to Christ by when you're no longer in your mom and dad's house and they're not getting you up every Sunday to go to church, really where you stand. And then, you know, since then, the Bible has been alive. I found churches on the road and where I was at in cities to go to and attend, and obviously baseball chapel as well. And I just did a lot of scripture reading and being by myself, and the Bible's just come alive, and I've just, every year it seems like God shows me new things and he draws me closer to him, and he's had to break me a couple times, and I've had to go through some stuff where, you know, I really had to lean on him, and some of my, you know, the Bible says you want to share in his glory, you're going to have to share in his suffering, and I've suffered, and I know they say how does Major League Baseball, how do you suffer, but we suffer, you know, we care about what we do, and it's important, and so when we don't do well, sometimes it's hurtful to us, you know. And I went through a period of time where I just never thought I could get out of it, and I was really at the end of my rope. And he met me where I was at, man. And I think in my heart's desperation to feel God, he showed up in ways that I've never ever seen before, you know. And so I think he does it on purpose sometimes. He cares about you, but sometimes it's desperation where he's going to make himself real. And for me, that's where he's done it a lot of times. And I just, from then on, I just love the Lord, grew up in a family, Christian home, and even then, it doesn't mean you're going to be a Christian, and went to a Christian high school, which the only difference between Christian high school and public high school is Bible class, pretty much, you know, and so, you know, I went through a lot of things, and I did a lot of things, and I just have always known that God is real, and the Spirit of God is there, and I've always wanted to be probably a person that when he reaches heaven and he can stand before the throne of God, that he gets "well done, good and faithful servant" said about him. And that's kind of my heart and my goal as I live on this earth.
I know one thing too that you have done. You've been very outspoken about your faith. You have not backed off. You have not been silent in the clubhouse. And you have also done something that I think a lot of athletes do not do, and that is essentially you put your money where your mouth is with the Jeremy Affeldt Foundation. You have, I saw on your website that you have things that you specifically want to do. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those things that you want to do with the Jeremy Affeldt Foundation?
Yeah, right now a lot of what the Jeremy Affeldt Foundation does is supports. I've got some missionaries that I'll give money to. They work in the youth culture. They got the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and there's one in New Zealand now that my friend who's from New Zealand actually went back home and started, and so I support that a lot, and I support other youth events, whether it be concerts or missions or bring kids to the games sometimes, and I did that more in Kansas City. And then right now I've supported what's called Generation Alive, which is a huge youth ministry out of my hometown, Spokane, Washington, that's just starting up, and a buddy of mine and I have kind of started it. What we do is basically we're a team that goes into public schools, and we teach on leadership, character development, dreaming big, and then we also sponsor an event called Crave through that, which is basically brings in the gospel. But we really reach out to the high schoolers, and we just want to teach them quality things, and we can't obviously talk about God in public schools, but we want to let them know, you know, Christian principles like, you know, leadership and accountability and making right choices and dreaming big, because, you know, that's a huge part of life. And so we've started that, and hopefully that ministry gets going, and I think it will, and I think it's a big deal, and we're real excited. We want to go national, eventually global with it. So it's a fun thing for us, and I'm just, you know, I've always had a heart towards, you know, the teenagers, college-age crowd, because I think that's our leaders of tomorrow. Obviously, I'm not trying to be cliche with that, but they are leaders of tomorrow, and I think that there's a lot of kids out there searching for what are they here on earth for? What are they here for? Why they created? What's the whole point? And I think our goal is to reach out and really, really touch them with that. And so I've youth culture and me really mesh well, and I really enjoy them, and I just want them to see God how He's supposed to be seen. So
Our time is almost up, Jeremy, but I wanted to ask you just one more question about a couple of things. One, I wanted to ask you about a guy that I know means a lot to you, and it's a guy eventually we're going to get on face-to-face, and that's Mike Sweeney. Tell me about Mike Sweeney.
Mike Sweeney is, you know, one of my best friends, man. That guy is probably probably, if not the, I'd say top two nicest guys in all of baseball. And he's got a heart for young people. He's got a heart for people in general. Loves his family, and he's just a tender heart, man. I've seen the guy hug umpires. You know, it's just the guy's a competitor, but he's got a tender heart, and he's probably one of the most loving men I've ever met. And I've learned a lot from him on just how he treats. I've seen how he treats his wife and loves on her and loves on his kids. And I have a wife and child, and I just know that I've seen that, and I've really used that to help me do the same thing. You know, and the guy shows you up, man, as a man. The guy is just, he is as good of a man as you can possibly become. And just how he loves and forgives and cherishes and doesn't hold grudges. And he's just, it's just amazing. The guy's almost not real, you know. But he's just one of those guys that I could live next door to every single day of my life and really enjoy our relationship. So I talked to him. It was one of the things when I got traded that was one of the things that I really was sad, is I would not be able to hang out with him anymore. But we found time to talk and catch up and stuff, and I really enjoy his friendship.
Jeremy Affeld is our guest. Jeremy, let's wrap it up this way. If you can, give me a favorite verse that you might have that bounces around in your head.
Oh, man, there's a lot of them. You got Ephesians 5, 8, and 9, which is kind of a life verse for me, which is, you know, to be children of light, living in all righteousness and truth. And then you have Jeremiah 29, 11. You know, when basically God looked at his people and said, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, you know, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. But then the verse goes on to say, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And that's probably been a verse that I've used quite a bit in my life.
Jeremy, thanks again for being a part of Face to Face. Good luck with the Rockies, and good luck in baseball and continuing in your ministry.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, Jeremy Affeld of the Colorado Rockies. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Jeremy Affeld. I remember those days when we were in the dugout with the Colorado Rockies and with Matt Hurges, with Clint Hurdle, with Jason Grilley, Jeremy Affeld, some of the other players, and just like living a dream. I know that when some reporters go in, they're pretty crass, and they just kind of do their job, and I don't think they really appreciate what they've got in there. When I go into a team, when I go in and sit down with players, as I can often do, I just feel really blessed. And on this particular time, there was a Bible study going on, and Matt Hurges invited me to be a part of this Bible study, and I got the chance to meet these guys a little more in depth. And there were some guys that went on to have pretty good careers. Matt Holliday was in there. Chris Iannetta, who's still catching, was there. And just a lot of different guys. And there is a strong Christian presence among baseball players. And I know the media does not bring that out, but we want you to know about that here on Face to Face. So I hope you enjoyed your time with Jeremy Affeld, and we'll kind of check to see what he does from here. I don't know if he's going back to Spokane or going to stay in the Phoenix area. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we'll see what happens with Jeremy Affeld. Well, we want to point you to our website. We've got a number of different things on our website. You can go to our website at facetofaceradio.com. We hope that you'll check that out. And won't be too long until our golf tournament's coming up. We will have our golf tournament at the Otter Creek Golf Course outside of Columbus, Indiana. And it's just really a day of fun. As I record this today, it is about 20 degrees outside, and it's hard to think about golf, but there will be a day when golf will come to the forefront, and we hope that you'll be a part of our game. Again, you can find this interview that we did today with Jeremy and other interviews, you can find them, and some stories also, you can find them at our website at facetofaceradio.com. Well, to close today, we want to take you to a verse in 2 Corinthians 3:17. And for a number of years, I would see this at the masthead of the Indianapolis Star. I don't know whether it's still there or not, but the newspaper, the Indianapolis Star, used to put this up at the top of every issue that they put out. 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." We live in a country where God is really being pushed into the background. And one of the things that we want to do here at Face to Face is to bring him back to the forefront and to let you know what's going on in the world of sports as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. Jesus Christ is alive and well in the sports world, and we want you to know that. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. Thank you.